Those little rugrats way back when. Now I wouldn't know what to do with them. You'd have to find me down there. They would probably have me all tied up. Yeah. It's funny how things change when you go into ministry and God moves you in different directions. And he pulls out the love for something and puts a new love in for something else, and just the way that it works. But we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, just so that you can go ahead and turn there if you have your Bibles this morning. And hopefully you had a good Easter, and the rain will stop and the sun will come out. It'll stop. I want to share with you today that we keep our eyes on so many things that sometimes we forget the one thing that we need to keep our eyes on. Hebrews 12. 2 tells us that we need to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And we can know the verses, but truly it's not what you know sometimes, it's what you do with what you know. And I see so many people may know certain things, but when they come to do them, it's not always as easy. And one thing I always look for is Christian men and women who have some battle scars on them, who have been Christians for a long while and not abandoned the ship, who've not run from the battles but stood in front of the storms, in front of their fights, and even though they may have some wounds on them, they're still standing. And when the church looked like it was hurting and the church looks like it's not going anywhere, they stood strong. And when life didn't seem like it was playing out well for them, they stood strong. And I think there's a testing. The Bible says there's a testing of our faith from time to time. And the Bible tells us that God doesn't put us on us more, allow more on us than what we can handle. And the problem with that is that the scriptures are perfect with it, but we have the problem of saying that the Lord give me too much or I can't handle it. And the truth is we cannot handle it unless we allow God to be a part of it. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at something here today that's, we're going to look at what does it look like when an enemy or a problem stands in front of you that's bigger than yourself. And I want to tell you, the first thing the enemy does is want to put fear into you. He wants to put fear in your mind. He wants you to see it, because what you see is what you believe. This is the way we are as humans. What we see, we believe. And even some of it, and we know that we are raised to understand through scriptures that you don't have to see it to believe it. But when the problem comes upon us, it's great stories in the Bible we're to learn from, but when it comes into a place in our own life, then we struggle because we can't see it. Therefore, even though we read about it, sometimes we just don't believe it. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. That's my intro this morning, because we're going to read a few more scriptures than I do normally. But you need to get the understanding of this. This is Jehoshaphat. This is a king. And this is, I was going to read it all at once. I think we're just going to take it in bite sizes. That way we don't have to go back over and read a few more verses and repeat that. But we're, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 1. And this, and the Moabites and the Ammonites with some of the Meunites, a lot of those people, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea, if it is already in Tamar." So what we see now right off the bat is King Jehoshaphat has something that is coming toward him, and it is different countries. They battled up, they teamed up, and they're coming to do the one thing. They're coming to take Jehoshaphat out of commission. They want to take him over. And we see this as there's a fear piece that comes in right at the part, verse 3. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved. So Jehoshaphat is alarmed about what he is hearing and what he knows. What you hear, you visualize in your brain, and you want to put an image in your brain. So when we hear something, we want to put an image in here so we might understand it a little bit more. Imagine Jehoshaphat, he hears it, that there are three countries that are coming after him. Can you imagine that in your mind as you're a king? You have three countries, and they're coming after you. They're coming, and the result is to take you out. You know, there are some things in life that you're going through that looks like it wants to take you out too. And you hear about those things and fear tries to come upon us because that's what one of the things is that our enemy uses is fear. He puts it in fear. Some of it is worrying. Some of you worry way too much. You stress out way too easy. Anxiety is not yours, but you love to carry it. You say you don't love to carry it, but you end up carrying it. And it's just a part of it. And so we need to learn that these things are just a part of the enemy. And he always wants to appear bigger than what he really is. The enemy always wants to appear bigger than what he is. This is what fear takes over. This is when anxiety takes over. And alarmed, it says, Jehoshaphat resolved. Now, what Jehoshaphat did, he did something that we all would do, hopefully, as well. What he does is he inquires of the Lord. The Bible says he inquired to the Lord and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now, not all of us will fast, but there are times in our lives when we need to fast. We fast here in January. Sometimes we'll do a 3-day fast. Sometimes we'll do a 7-day fast. Sometimes we'll do 21 days, certain types of fasts. We do those things. And I believe those fasts are not a waste of time, but that we use them to set forth for the new year. And some of us forget what we fasted for, and I'll keep reminding you of what we fasted for, but what you see is it doesn't happen overnight, it happens over a period of time. Because God is moving pieces and doing certain things. But the alarm is that he is alarmed because the enemy is coming. It is coming to come toward him, and what he does is he inquires of the Lord, and he does a fast. Just like the people in Nineveh, when Jonah says, in 40 days, the whole city, God's going to destroy you. The king declared a fast, and they prayed. And then it says in verse 4, the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. You know, today, you cannot find all your church members to come into the church on Sunday. We couldn't even do it last week on Easter, the number one Sunday of the year. Couldn't even do it. Couldn't even do it because it wasn't important. It's not always important. But what happens when your life is weighing in the balance, all of a sudden, that's important because we are concerned about ourselves. It is. So here all the people begin to come together. They hear it too. They hear it too. And they come together and they want to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat, he stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard. And this is what he does. He's going to pray. Isn't that what we're supposed to do when we have a big issue that's bigger than us? A big issue that is bigger than us. Now, those issues, those problems that we have, that trouble that is in front of us, or some of us may be in it already, it comes in different sizes. It comes in different, it looks different for everyone. You know, if you've been out of work because your health is not up to par and you can't work and the bill collector's coming, the gas company and the electric company doesn't care really what's going on in your life. That bill, nothing stops. If you got it on, that bill is coming every month in the mail, whether you can pay for it or not. Now, for most of us, we can write out a check and we can pay it. But there comes a time in certain people's lives when they lose a lot and they lose more. And maybe the breadwinner of the home is sick and can't work no more. And there comes a problem in the financial area. Now, to you, that may not be a big deal, but it is for someone else. You wake up one morning and you have a problem with one of your children. And it's costing a lot of problems. And they go on a crime spree and everybody's looking at you. There's a problem. When your husband or your wife wakes up and says, we need to talk. Here it is. I think I want a divorce. There's a problem. You wake up and you hear the doctor tell you, you have cancer. You have this disease. There's a problem. Somebody in your family, once again, gets arrested. It's not extended family, but it's the close family. It's the one that is right there. There's a problem. We all have faced problems in life, but then there comes those ones that are just, they're bigger than we are. We're bigger than we are. It's an addiction in your life, and it's bigger than you. Whatever that is, Jehoshaphat is showing us how to get through this and how to work through it. These old stories in the New Testament are not just history stories, but they are the example on how to do it and how to get through some of these problems in our life. God has given us these examples. And I want to tell you, you can't control everything, control freaks, if you're out there. You can't control everything. You just can't. You can't. How many of y'all are a control freak? Be honest, if you're a control freak. Okay. You can't control everything. And if you could, you really would mess up a lot more than you're already messing up. Okay? You're not the best at everything. Nobody's the best at it. But there is one. And Jehoshaphat knows what to do. Not only did he call the people, because the Bible tells us we are to share our burdens with one another. And so what we see here is he shares it with the people. And as he shares it with the people, they get together and he's going to pray. He's going to do this. This is what we are to do. We are to go to pray. And we're used to doing this. And he comes to this point, he begins to pray, he opens his prayer up. We won't go through all of it, but he goes down to verse 9. He says, if calamity comes upon us, he says, if it all falls on us, whether the sword or judgment or the plague or famine, we stand in your presence before the temple that bears your name and will cry out into you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. What he's saying is, no matter what is coming, no matter what happens, we're still going to be in this temple, we're going to dig down, and we're going to believe that you're going to save us. That you're going to come through. Folks, that's the faith. Your faith triumphs over what's in front of you. Your faith is bigger than the bigger thing that's coming in front of you. And he says, in verse 12, he says, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. I'm going to tell you, one of the first things we need to acknowledge to God is who he is. He is God. But one of the other things we need to acknowledge is that we cannot face this on our own. It humbles us and puts us in humility knowing that it is out of my control. I've done what I can do to make things. Listen, he's going to set his army up. He's going to do his thing. He's going to do what he can do. But he knows he cannot face this enemy. He knows he can't do it. But he admits it to God. He subjects himself to God, saying, Lord, here it is. Here I am. This is too big for me. But I need you. He says, we do not know what to do. We do not know what to do. This is the place of what we call a crossroads. There's a place in our life where we get to a crossroads, and the thing is, once we get off of a crossroads, we sometimes think we won't find another one. Well, life happens, and there'll be another time where you will land in the middle of a crossroad. And you're going to have to make some decisions. And those decisions are going to lay out some of the things that are going to happen to you in the next few moments, the next few months, and maybe in the next few years for the rest of your life. Either you're going to let that enemy come in and take you out, and you can put your head in the sand like an ostrich and act like they're not coming. Or you can be all cocky thinking you can take them out. Or you can take that humility stance and say, Lord, we do not know what to do. That grabs the attention of God. You've acknowledged who God is. You put out that there's an enemy that's bigger than you. And you come to the place, Lord, we do not know what to do. But what he says is, but our eyes are fixed on you. It's the same thing they said in Hebrews. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. There is a part there. If you fix your eyes on the enemy, then you'll continue to see how big he looks. You'll begin to feel the fear, not just in your eyes, but in your soul and in your spirit. And it will affect your emotions, and you'll begin to make bad choices and make bad decisions. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, he'll calm the storm. You'll write it. You'll have to write it out, but he will calm it. He will take care of what he can take care of, and he knows all the business. But when you put your eyes on the wrong thing, you put your eyes on the problem will soak you in. It will come in, and that's exactly what it wants to do. It wants to draw you in and keep your eyes fixed on the problem, on the issue, so you will keep your eyes away from God. Because it knows if you go to God, then there's power in Christ. Amen? There is power in Christ. And then he goes on here, he says, now, what happens is, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon a few of these prophets, and in verse 15, he said, this is what the prophet said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Isn't it amazing? Because, listen, when you pray, I hope you expect that God's going to listen. But not that God's just going to listen, but he is going to answer. Right, Tabitha? He's going to answer. He is going to answer when you pray, Ben. He's going to answer. Don't be surprised. We talked about that last week. Don't be surprised when God answers, because God is answering. You're praying. When you talk to someone, you expect them to listen. When you talk to someone, then you stop and they're going to speak back to you. And this is what happens in prayer. And so he says, listen, I want you, you need to listen. This is what the Lord says to you. That's how God spoke through back in the day. He spoke mostly through prophets. And this is what he says. Do not be afraid, because that's the first thing God knows that we struggle with, fear. How many of you struggle with fear? Okay, didn't ask for hands, but great. It's an acknowledgement of your truthfulness, okay? He says, do not be afraid, okay? So let's do it. How many people get fearful? There's a few topics I get fearful from time to time. Okay, but he didn't say just fearful, being afraid. He said, or discouraged. How many of you get discouraged and get depressed very easily, okay? And then happy, he says that, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged because of this vast army. Don't be discouraged because of that what's in front of you. Don't be afraid of what's in front of you. Don't be afraid of it. And basically God's saying, you can't handle it. You're not supposed to handle it. There's some things, folks, we're not supposed to handle, but we're supposed to give it to God. And this is what he said. He says, for this, for the battle is not yours. The battle's not yours, but it's God's. So the prophet said, listen, king, I know you're a king, and I know that you're the king. They're going to come and get you. That's what you're thinking. But listen, God says, don't be fearful. Don't be discouraged, because listen, this is God's battle. Basically, God's just saying, you step out of the way for a moment. Cool your jets. Quit looking at the enemy. Start focusing and fixing your eyes on Jesus, just like you said you were doing. Because he says, but our eyes are fixed on you. Listen, when you fix your eyes on Christ, I'm telling you, Christ is looking at you. When you don't have your eyes fixed on Jesus, Jesus is still looking at you. But there's power when your eyes connect, when you connect together. He says, tomorrow I want you to march down. Now, there are always something that God tells you need to do, because it's part of the faith. It's part of the faith. The faith equation. And you have to, you just be obedient. Do what God says to do. If God says, I want you to roll marbles down the middle of the, you just roll marbles. He says, tomorrow, I want you to march down against them. And he gives all these little details. Take up your position. Stand firm. See the deliverance of the Lord. I want you to watch. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. There's a testing part where you feel like, okay, here it is. You're in your moment. Here it is. Am I going to do what God says, or am I going to step over here and keep looking at what's coming at me? Listen, you can't change what's coming at you. The only way that's going to change is if you change your eyes and fix them on Christ and do what he tells you. So go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And then it said this. Now, there's a part in here. Now, this is the part that we struggle with. These next few pieces is what we struggle with, because we're so worried. We're so nervous. We're so scared of what is in front of us. We're afraid of what court's going to say. We're afraid of what the doctor's going to say. We're afraid of what our spouse is going to say. We're afraid what our family's going to say. When you come in and you tell them news that you did something wrong, whatever it may be, we're fearful of it. But it says what Jehoshaphat did was amazing. In verse 18, he says, Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down. And they worshiped before the Lord. Before the victory happened, they began to worship God. We would run back, most of us run back, and we're not worshiping, we're waiting. Well, what happens when you wait in silence? The battle starts here again. It goes right back here, because we start visualizing the worst. We visualize the worst. But he needs to stay busy in a positive way. And so he begins to, they all fall down and they begin to worship the Lord. Verse 19, then some of the Levites, some of the priests from some of the groups stood up and they praised the Lord. They began to praise the Lord. So everybody was down and they began to pray. And what they were having was a worship service, a victory worship, before they even had a victory. But they claimed it in their belief, in their faith. And the God of Israel, with a very loud voice, they were praising him with their voice. Shouting out things. And early in the morning they left. They went out there. Jehoshaphat stood and said, he wants you to listen to me, Judah. And all the people. You have to have somebody sometimes in the group that's got to stand up a little bit stronger than the rest. There's got to be leaders. You got to have Christian leaders in your home. He says, have faith in the Lord your God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. Basically, he's saying what he said, you got to have faith. There's times when you can lean on someone else's faith a little bit, but you got to have your own. Amen? You got to have your own. You need some people to pray with you from time to time. You need that. You need that. You need that with people around you. You need those people with you. But there comes moments where it's just you. And it's you. And when you go to bed and you put your head on that pillow and you can't sleep because that problem's that big, and you get a few minutes and you wake up because it's so stressful, and you wake up and again and you fall asleep for a moment, and then you wake up and you can't go back to sleep and you toss and turn. And that's a person who's filled over with anxiety and stress and discouragement and worrying because they didn't come home and they said they were going to come home. Parents, get it? And he says, have faith in the Lord your God. And he says in verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. What they did was take a proactive stance and proactivity. They didn't sulk. They didn't put their head in the sand. They didn't go back and say, poor pitiful me. They took a more powerful stance. In the beginning, we see this story of, oh my gosh, look who's coming. And he's keeping his eyes fixed on those things. But when he ends up putting his eyes on Christ, on the Lord, he begins to see it all begins to change. There's a piece in it that tells him that victory will happen. Don't worry. Don't be discouraged. Don't be fearful. And he takes even a more proactive stance. He says, well, we can't do nothing. So they begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They begin to continue to pray. They begin to give thanksgiving. They begin to worship him and they begin to praise him through this shouting out, just words of affirmation. Like we do sometimes in worship when we say amen, praise the God, hallelujah. How awesome is he? And then they get crazy and they start singing victory songs to the Lord. They start praising him through song. Give thanks to the Lord before they even received it. Is that a person who believes that God's going to answer prayer? Is that a person who believes that the enemy is smaller now than the God he serves? Is that a person who believes that God answers prayer? Is that a person who believes it's not just about what I'm going through, but there's a bigger picture? Isn't this a piece where people are drawn together because of a negative enemy circumstances and problems and issues and those trouble and all that kind of stuff and brings it into the forefront of everything, yet their faith grows even though the problem seems big, but their faith grows bigger than their problem? But we complain because we have problems, but those problems are right there so that our faith may grow. And he said they begin to praise him. They begin to praise the Lord. What do you do when problems arise in your life? How do you handle them? Because this is how crazy our God is sometimes. Crazy in a good way. They go out there and the Lord does amazing things and they win this victory. Do you know you can get victory today in your life if you let God be God in your life? You know that you can have victory? But this is the great part. He says in verse 25, so Jehoshaphat, they get the victory, and the men went in, and they end up plundering everything that was there, and they found among them a great amount of equipment, clothing, articles of value, more than they can take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. Now, I don't know if you get that, but it took 3 days. Three armies came in to attack. When the enemy comes into attack and God gives you victory, sometimes God says, you're not only going to get victory, you're going to get something out of it. Come on now. This is not prosperity, but this is the way it is. God loves to give. You went through the pain. God sometimes loves to give more than we can't even see of that moment where God's gifting us. God is gifting us. We see what we're going, what's coming in front of us. But we have to face that. Then we have to go through it at the crossroads. We make a decision. My way? The world's way? Everybody else's way? Or am I going to do it God's way? And they choose God's way. And then it says, then they led Jehoshaphat, all the men of Judah and Jerusalem, returned joyfully to Jerusalem. For the Lord had given them cause to reign, rejoice over their enemies. When's the last time you rejoiced over your enemy, over your problem? You see, you all tell me you pray so much, but no one testifies about what God has done for them. You see, we are at the crossroads many times, and we get to a place where we work through it, and once God brings us through it, we do not give Him the praise. We do not give Him the glory. We do not testify to Him saying, Lord, I want to tell you, can I tell you what God has done for me this week? Can I tell you what God has done for me last week? Can I tell you what God did for my family? Can I tell you what God did for our church? Can I tell you what God did for me when I didn't tell anybody, but now I'm more open to tell about it? Let me tell you how awesome God is. If we are believers in Christ, we should have more of those instead of talking about other people, talking about other people's problems. We need to get focused on what the real deal is. The real deal is, it's God's world. It's God's battle. And we are His people. We need to fight these battles in the way that God has set them up for us. And He will tell you, that battle's not yours. It's too big for you. They're going to wipe you out, but I have a way. That's the same way what God did with Jesus Christ, His Son. We couldn't take care of our sins, but God says, bigger than you, but I'm going to send my Son because I love you. And then it says, and the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace. For as God has given him rest on every side. You'll never outgive God. Your praise and worship and thanksgiving to Him will never outdo what God has given to you. Some of us walk too much. Well, some of us walk in defeat. And we should never be there. Because we are victorious through Christ. We walk in defeat. We should not have our heads hung low, but our heads hung high. A friend of mine had told me this story when he got cancer. And he said, I was really down in the dumps, and one of my friends calls me and he says, I heard you got the little C. He said, what are you talking about? C, cancer's not small. He said, nah, man, you got the little C. That's cancer. The big C is Christ. He said, I just looked at things totally different. I kept thinking how big cancer was, but I forgot how big Christ was. Even in death, you know your scriptures? Oh, death, where is your sting? Do you understand that? Do you understand, oh, death, where is your sting? Death has lost its power over those who come to know Christ. You may die a physical death, but you will live eternally. That is the promises of God. Quit thinking always in defeat. Quit thinking about the problems. Put those problems in a headlock and pray over it. Put those problems under your feet and start walking over them. You can do that, but you can only do that when you give it to God. He'll tell you to march out there. He'll tell you to face it, but He'll do the other part. He'll do the tough part. He'll wipe it out. Only God can do those things. But that's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. I knew a man who didn't know who his father was, and he found out where his father was. But he didn't want to cause a big issue and a bunch of deep things. And he said, I want my father to connect with me. And he said, I ended up fasting every Monday for 5 years. And then I got a call one day. And my father wanted to meet with me. And then he just began to testify about what God has done for him. Very simple testimony. But powerful for him. Because you know why? And it's not just powerful for him. You know why those stories are so powerful? Because there's somebody else sitting out there who hasn't talked to their father in a long time. When somebody testifies about how they went through cancer and God healed them, that's a testimony for those who are also struggling with health issues. And those who do not get healed, they still stand strong and testify that I am all things in Christ. Even though my body is dying away, my spirit and myself is actually growing stronger, and I'm ready to go see Jesus. And somebody else needs to hear that. Your testimonies are important, but you're not speaking up. You're not speaking up enough about what God is doing for you and what God has done for you. It's not climbing the totem pole at the workplace. God can put a man from the bottom and put him to the top just like that. If you know your Bible, you know the story of Joseph. He could take a man that was a no one or a woman and take a woman, Esther, and save a nation. Just like that. Is there a little bit of fear involved from time to time? But not so much that it's going to rule over my life. But it ignites me and ignites my faith. Ignites my faith. I want to share with you the scripture that I did earlier. In Hebrews chapter 12, there's a lot in it, but I'm just going to read a couple here. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, you know who those witnesses are? That's those who are up there. Not here, up there. They're watching. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. If you keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, you will not lose heart. You'll not grow weary. You will be strengthened because you're keeping your eyes and fixed on the one who has all the power. Amen? Amen. We here today? Listen, you'll understand this scripture when you're on your knees and you go and you got some problem in your life and you're like, what do I do? I met with a 25-year-old this Wednesday who came up and almost in tears, and he said, I'm 25 years old, and doctor believes I have testicle cancer at 25. We have a staff member who's got cancer. You don't think they're at a crossroads? You don't think they're at a crossroads? Because it doesn't happen to you, it doesn't happen to me, we don't feel it. But the Bible says in Romans, we are to rejoice with those who rejoice. And we need to be happy for those who are happy, having babies, getting married, changing life, good stuff. But the Bible also says that we are to mourn with those who mourn, which means when they're hurting, we ought to be hurting. Amen? Too much church is all about the happy stuff and not about some of the junk. But it can't be all about the junk. It needs to be about all of it, the whole meal. Some of us are at a crossroads and we see the enemy coming and we're there. But we've been too quiet about it. We're not dealing with it. We're trying to do it just with ourselves. Listen, I'll take five people who pray and know the Lord than just myself praying. Yes, I know I need to pray myself, but sometimes I need people around me to pray for me, to pray for something that is bigger than myself. I need to get on the phone from sometimes and I'll call Bob or I'll call somebody and say, hey, we need this prayer. I'm not sure about this. Let's need to pray about it because it's bigger than me. Some of us don't like to make decisions. I get it. Some of us don't like change. Some of us don't like choices to make. But that's part of life. God's calling you today to trust him with the battle. He wants you to trust Him because He knows you can't win it on your own. Amen? You can't win on your own. But the angel told Mary, but all things are possible with God. For nothing is impossible with God. We serve an amazing God, folks. His mercy and grace flows upon us and His love more than we can ever imagine. But in this world and this walk of life, we mess up a lot. Sometimes we make bad choices, we sin, we have to deal with that, and we work that. But sometimes life happens. Whether we caused some of it, or maybe we didn't. God is still the same God for all of us. He doesn't love me more than He loves you, and He doesn't love you more over here than He loves over here. He loves us. He loves people. I just think we lose too many battles by not trusting in God. We lose too many battles when we should be more victorious. And when we are victorious, we should be sharing those victories with one another. Amen? And I don't know where you're at, but I know I stand at the crossroads more than I'd like to sometimes. But sometimes God puts us and allows us to be at the crossroads of decision making because it's for our faith to grow. Who am I going? How am I going to make this decision? But here's the thing. As a mature Christian, I hope that you know that when you pray, God answers. But we need to come to Him with a childlike faith. And sometimes that's hard for us to do. It just means you throw your arms and you just fall into His arms and just tell Him all about it. And trust in Him. And keep your eyes fixed on Him. How many of y'all, I'm going to close with this. Let's just go ahead and stand real quick. But I'm going to ask you this. How many of y'all came to a place in your life from time to time where something's wrong, your car breaks down. And that's your conversation. But nobody wants to listen. Nobody wants to listen. Why? Because their car is running fine. Flip the story, and now they're talking about cars. And they're not listening. Whether you're listening, talking, I just want to remind you today, God's listening.